Hi everyone, I'm Jeff Weaver, and you do see me here on the title slide. You may not see me in the book, and that is because, in reality, I'm here pinch hitting for Uzma Zumbrink. Many of you know Uzma, and even if you don't, Uzma is recovering from a serious health concern and is doing so very well. She is just wasn't up to the task of coming and making her presentation, but she is, talked to her just this morning, she's doing great. She is no longer working for the American Optometric Association, where she was when she submitted the documents. She is back at the University of Missouri Columbia doing some postdoctoral work and going to some additional classes, perhaps going back a little bit to being that lifelong student we all wish we could. But she's under a lot less stress, which is really helping her recovery, and doing great. So, what is the optometrist's role in helping patients with Alzheimer's disease? So I'm going to probably bring a different perspective to this, since I am an optometrist, and Uzma is not. But optometrists, certainly as primary care physicians, can play an important role in the diagnosis and treatment of this and other systemic diseases. And I would think that our new optometrist president of the APHA would want me to point that out, not just to you, but to those in my profession as well. Giving the best possible vision to Alzheimer's disease patients really does improve their quality of life. They, like everyone else, want to be able to see as clearly as possible, and if they're able to do that, it potentially can reduce the burden on the caregivers allowing them to function at a higher level, even ambulating, and that could affect caregivers and make it easier on them. But patients with Alzheimer's are likely to have visual problems that are not detected, probably due to the developing dementia. They're less likely able to explain any visual problems and more likely to experience and tolerate the visual defects. So there are problems that are out there with anyone in this aging population, but they're less likely to come out with symptoms, perhaps, because of the Alzheimer's. And a comprehensive eye examination could certainly help identify Alzheimer's disease before symptoms develop and improve things for them. One of the things I do want to point out, both the guidelines by the American Optometric Association and the American Public Health Association are that this population really should be having eye examinations, comprehensive eye examinations by an optometrist or ophthalmologist annually, and chances are they're not getting that. What impact can we have with those 5 million Alzheimer's disease patients out there if optometrists alone, who do 50 million eye examinations a year, could identify early Alzheimer's in just 1% of our patients? You know, 500,000 people could be helped to improve. Well, when I agreed to pinch hit here for Uzma, I didn't even ask the topic. When I found out it was Alzheimer's in the eye, it's like, boy, I wonder how much I really know about that. I'm probably a little remiss here. As an optometrist, I just took our new board certification examination of the board that I'm executive director of, and I'm kind of glad we didn't have anything on the board examination, or I might have missed it. I wonder what we have out there in the literature in terms of optometry in the eye or vision eye, and darn it, if Dr. Denise Valenti didn't publish in our association's journal just over a year ago this article on visual system review. And Dr. Valenti is in the room, so she can certainly throw tomatoes at me if I say anything inappropriate or below the level of the understanding that I should have. But what I wanted to do for this presentation is not necessarily go through all the areas that she touched on in her review, but just in some of the areas that do affect Alzheimer's disease patients. And here's a few of them. Certainly visual acuity, it's controversial in some of the studies. You know, thinking of this population alone, there's probably going to be reduced visual acuity just due to aging. It is normal, or at least age normal, in many, but perhaps some of the studies do show that visual acuity may be even further reduced in Alzheimer's patients. Color vision, something that I have to admit, in optometry we don't do enough on anyone other than children, perhaps, in the first examination to determine whether they are color vision normal or defective. But certainly we should consider doing it more in the aging population, particularly if we suspect Alzheimer's, because whether it's actually a functional color vision defect that is new or whether it's just their ability to process that color vision information, there seems to be some type of relationship between color vision and Alzheimer's disease. Visual field testing, if there's any relationship of that related specifically to Alzheimer's, it seems to be this inferior visual field defect, which is a real problem. That is the portion of the visual field you need for better ambulation, and certainly falls and stumbles are a major concern in Alzheimer's patients. Stereopsis, the ability to depth perception, if you will, but the refined depth perception that allows for the ability to judge distances properly, to judge fine variations, maybe as they are ambulating in stairways or any items that objects that might be on the ground in front of them may be reduced, again increasing the number of falls and stumbles. Pupil dilation is something that is, I think, had somewhat of a major hope as being a diagnostic procedure for optometrists and ophthalmologists in Alzheimer's. Some Alzheimer's patients seem to have a very enhanced response to pupil dilation of even very small concentrations of tropicamide, which is the drop that when you go in for your dilated eye examination that's primarily used. But it's not really found to be diagnostic per se. It's not the diagnostic tool that we had hoped it might be, perhaps, but there is some enhanced response in many patients. Fixation, the ability to look at an object and hold fixation on that seems to be have some reduced function in Alzheimer's patients. Saccadic eye movements, which again, if we think about primary care, optometry, and ophthalmology, something that we may be remiss on testing in the older population is some of these eye movement procedures, because we test them on kids, or once a person hits presbyopia, we figure, well, it's not quite as critical. Well, it is. The results seem to be on these a little bit more demonstrative that the saccades, the fast eye movements, looking from one object to another, are delayed in latency. They're inaccurate, so when a person moves from one object to another, they're not right on target. They have a reduced velocity, so they're slower in that, and it seems to be about 50% of Alzheimer's patients are affected. Now, slow pursuits are impaired, seem to be related to saccades, and contrast sensitivity, some are reduced at all frequencies. That may be an age normal issue as well. Here are some of the things I'm just going to skip over just to show you there are other things. These are a little bit more subtle or things that we wouldn't necessarily test on a regular basis in a primary care examination. So that's the functional look. Now on the structural area, most Alzheimer's pathology is in the brain, but it's also been reported to affect the eye, which makes sense since the eye is really part of the brain. And the proteins that exist in the normal human eye may produce ocular pathology in Alzheimer's, particularly beta amyloid proteins. One of the things that we can do with the eye, not just on Alzheimer's, but particularly things like diabetic retinopathy or diabetes and hypertension on a systemic role, is actually take a look at the vasculature and neural tissue where we can't otherwise. So here's the pathological changes in the visual system that can occur in Alzheimer's, and I'll go through these quickly. In the lens, deposition of beta amyloid, which I mentioned once already. This type of cataract, again, most patients in this population have some degree of cataract, whether it's officially diagnosed or not, but Alzheimer's patients get these beta amyloid fibrils that may occur in the bottom right there in the far periphery of the lens. Very difficult to see other than high magnification slit beam view. Certainly nothing that's going to be evaluated just with a direct ophthalmoscope by a family care provider. Now, the retina has some issues in terms of reduction in ganglion cells. time, macular degeneration, which was mentioned in an earlier talk, but some of these drusen that you see in the fundus view on the right and a tomography view on the left, those are drusen that are very common in macular degeneration. They do, the most part of them, many of them do contain the beta amyloid that is found in Alzheimer's. The optic nerve and the optic disc have some things that I'll point out to you, and this isn't a glaucoma, this isn't an Alzheimer's patient slide here, but it's a glaucoma slide. I just wanted to point out to you some of the subtleties that we look for in an optometric examination that aren't really able to be done outside of eye care providers. If you notice the cupping of that optic nerve, instead of it being round, it does have a more of an outpouching inferior there that indicates a loss of some of the rim tissue. And even more subtle, perhaps, if you look at the different color variations on the orange part on the retina itself, you can see some of the changes there, and those color variations tend to indicate nerve fiber layer dropout, which is a very subtle thing that indicates an early structural loss. There are some procedures here that can be helpful, even to the non-optometrist. The frequency doubling technology, visual field techniques, can be useful in an early functional evaluation of what's going on in the optic nerve and the retina. So, we certainly, optometrists and ophthalmologists, should be able to identify visual problems with patients with Alzheimer's and perhaps increase our work on a multidisciplinary approach with other healthcare providers that are dealing with Alzheimer's patients. Symptoms of Alzheimer's are highly variable, and some of those patients may not be exhibiting visual symptoms, but others may have them, just not expressing them appropriately. And certainly the optometrist has a role. I do want to point out one of the things that USMA had one of the most involvement with here is there's a 2006 Healthy Eyes, Healthy People project in the state of Massachusetts, educating optometrists with the objective of reducing the risk of neurodegenerative vision loss due to Alzheimer's disease and glaucoma. And this was a lot of collaborative effort here by all these organizations with means to educate on these issues. And some of the things that came out of it were educational products that are out there and available. The Massachusetts Society of Optometrists has an education program, a physician toolkit that has enhanced information on Alzheimer's now, and even a guideline for optometrists. And some of the things that are useful perhaps to the caregivers that are written more at a lay level here is that the vision problems associated with Alzheimer's, it pushes out some of the information that I mentioned here in terms of depth perception, color perception, contrast, and tips for the caregiver specifically on how to address these issues in terms of ameliorating some of the problems that may be faced by the majority of Alzheimer's patients. So that concludes my presentation. And thank you very much.